listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Gary Riley.
Hello, everyone. This is Series 10, Episode 9 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. And to be honest, we are still in a state of absolute disbelief and horror. I mean, how could Longford Town be the only home team not to win in the First Division this weekend, Gary Riley?
Yeah, well, wasn't expecting you to say that. Right bollocks of it there on Saturday night, I have to say.
Yeah, we need some levity in the situation. But it's been a dark few days for Irish football fans everywhere, even worse for me and you. That was particularly poor Saturday night from the town. We'll talk about those First Division games in a while, but look, there is only one place to start, I'm afraid. It's Prague, and it's very much the one that got away.
Yeah, to say the least. I think being there and watching the team go 2-0 up, and you know that the Czechs are going to come out and, you know, not take it lying down, as poor as they were and are. They still have to dig in, and you know, they were much better in the second half, but I think I just can't look past the 2-0 up situation between the penalty given away by Manning and the equaliser then as well. I'd nearly say we definitely, you know, fucked it away, really. You know, we should be talking about a podcast now about, like, you know, Jesus, we're 90 minutes from booking flights to Mexico. And now we're, 90 minutes of booking flights to Granada or Canada or wherever. But, it's very tough to take, I have to say. But I do believe we were serious architects of our own downfall.
Yeah, we said to each other in the days after the game, usually when we're on these away trips, we get back to the hotel after a game and straight onto the YouTube and look at the highlights, look at all the interviews and look at all the social media content and any bit of content you can get, you ingest it. But I haven't looked back at the game. I don't think I ever will, to be honest. I can't bring myself to do it. Everyone that was at home and watching the game on TV, they're all talking about Manning's stupid penalties given away. I haven't seen it. We were in the complete opposite end of the ground, so I could see the referee obviously indicate it was for a shirt pull. I haven't seen it back, so I probably won't look at it back, to be honest. But to do that after going 2-0 up only moments earlier, it's crazy decision making. And I'm not actually sure who gave away the free for the second, but we had won the ball back and a big roar went up from the crowd, like, we have to win the ball back in our own corner flag area, and then someone kind of swings in a loose arm and gives away a needless free kick, and they score off the front post. You probably should have a man on the post there as well. So just a couple of absolutely needless errors that have cost us big time.
Yeah, I think it was Manning. From talking to trusted sources, because I obviously haven't watched it either myself, because I'd rather, I don't know what I'd do. But I think it wasn't a foul either in the corner. But probably linesman was a bit trigger happy. It's just, you know, lots of ifs and buts and stuff like that.
A lot of people just scrolling through Twitter after the game, a lot of people were at home watching it on the TV were giving out stink about the second half performance, that we set back and we were too negative. But the Czechs came out and I was surprised to see how direct they went. They couldn't string a pass together first half. The amount of times we turned over the ball in the Czech third was incredible. Mm-hmm. And as a result, I really believe had we not conceded that penalty, we should have been looking to go and kill the game and make it three, because we were all over them. And of course, we hit the post, hit the crossbar. Their keeper made an unbelievable save. There's no way we should have lost this game. But I was just going to make the point, they couldn't play through us. And they decided to go more direct. And I was delighted when I seen them doing that. I was thinking, oh, this will be meat and drink for the likes of Collins and O'Shea. Sure, just head and clear everything away. But we did weather the bit, I'd call it a storm, but Kelleher never had a save to make in normal play outside of the set pieces. So I thought we weathered it well. we were less than 10 minutes away from getting through the 90 minutes with our 2-1 lead. And look, we just gave away a stupid free kick, whether it was soft or not, and we didn't defend it well. And that's the percentages at this level.
That's true. And I do another point that I think is worthwhile making is, you know, it's you know, if they didn't get that equalizer, you know, we wouldn't give them a shit what happened. But obviously, a result like this and creates more conversation about how we got into that situation. But at the same time, I think we were weathering the storm quite well. We weren't fantastic in the second half, but they were defending quite well. I thought Dara O'Shea and Nathan Collins were quite good on the night.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're looking at a team, let's say you're 10 minutes into the second half, and you're looking at the what the Czechs are throwing at you, you're like, okay, well, we can weather this, and we've been weathering it quite well. I don't want to blame a ref in particular, but I was really disappointed with his performance on the night. I thought he was extremely poor, particularly with like Patrick Schick, probably. Add up all the fouls like that he committed on the night, he probably would have been sent off around the 60th or 70th minute. You know, even the bit of looking around that had to be done to even give a foul for the Schmadix incident was desperately poor. That in truth should have been a red card. But these are all the little percentages. The other point I want to make is, like, yeah, how often have you seen teams, you know, play really defensive and like grind out a win? You know what I mean? That's great as well. You know, you've often seen like Ireland even at times have, you know, been got an early goal or whatever and tried to weather the storm against a much superior team. This wasn't the case on Thursday. I thought I fully expected Czechia to get absolutely demolished by Denmark tomorrow, and I know nothing about Denmark at this point. So, in truth, it's just gutting, really. We're just really looking forward to Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know, looking forward to the crack continuing. I must say it was great being over there. So many fans, people over there with no tickets and enjoying themselves. Everything really good spirited, bit of crack, but very confident in Ireland's chances. And, you know, in the space of 90 minutes or the space of an hour, really, probably it was all put to shite. So, just the other thing I want to say, the penalties. You'd have to imagine that Alan Brown put up his hand to take a penalty, would you say?
You'd imagine so. I think the general feeling is that obviously Schmadix might have taken his penalty had he not gone off injured. So a bit of misfortune there. My prediction all week long was we'd win on penalties. And I think like a lot of people, probably Kelleher was playing a big part in my confidence that we'd win on penalties. I probably didn't factor into it. Do we have five lads that have the ability to tuck it away from 12 yards? Like we saw Parrott in normal time and in the penalty shootout, he had the technique, he had the belief, absolutely rasped at home, gave the goalkeeper no chance, even though the keeper, I think, went the right way both times, but he got nowhere near it because he hit it so sweetly. Robbie Brady, all his experience, he hit his one sweetly. Like Adam Eda as well, he scored his quite confidently. But after that, then, it was lads that looked like they didn't really have the confidence that they didn't really seem to have the confidence they were going to be able to do it. So I'm not sure what we can really do about that, but it's an awful way to lose a game of football.
Oh, it is no doubt. I just think Ethan made the point many times over in the aftermath that, you know, after Kelleher made the save, and you're in the driving position, the keeper has to do something to rescue that. You know, the opponent, the opposition keeper has to dive. So, like, you know, Azaz's penalty probably. It was Azaz, or was it? Who was?
Azaz missed the first one, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, he did have to. He could have done something a lot different than what he ended up doing to give the keeper no chance, like go down the middle, really, or, you know, I don't know what, but drive it home. Jamie Vardy it. The last point I want to make about penalties is, no, I haven't actually watched the video, so please give me some rope. But I think people on off the ball probably, what's that boy's name that I don't like?
That's a long list of people.
Yeah, Keith Tracy. Yeah. It always astounded me that he's employed in any type of commentary or punditry or anything like that on the topic of football. Don't know how that managed to happen. I don't know what miracle worker he has as his agent. But I never really had to make a much comment on him, to be quite honest, apart from muting Virgin Media whenever he's on it. But I think it was him that was saying about not practicing penalties. I don't know if you saw that. One of the dimmest takes that I've seen about the whole experience on Thursday. It was very, very stupid. I don't think they practice penalties. I know that was being talked about in the days leading up to the match. That sounds like the manager and the staff. If that's the case, that they didn't practice penalties. But that's really disappointing to hear if that is actually the case. But definitely one of the worst takes I've heard on the game of football in any capacity in quite a while. I think just the collective feeling of loss about a World Cup coming up for us after so many barren years, it's just a real tough one to take. And I know there's lots of people that are just absolutely gutted, no more than ourselves. But look, it's just up to march on, do your best.
Yeah, I suppose it's very hard to come out with the line, take the positives from it, but just of the few positives, look, we obviously have a star now in Troy Parrott. It was amazing to see all the paraphernalia all over Prague, parrots on shoulders, on heads, on everything. But like, you now have a belief that, okay, if we can anyway keep this game tight, we have a lad here that can do something for us. And that's something we haven't had since probably Robbie Keane. So that's obviously huge now to have him as poster boy for this team. We were missing Cullen, but I thought Malumbi was absolutely sensational on the night. I have to say, I thought he was.
Can I just come in on Malumbi? I've been a huge fan of Malumbi for a very, very long time. I think you could back me up on that comment.
Yeah.
But I remember him watching him. I think he played a pass in. I think Ireland needed to beat Sweden, either under 21s or under 19s. In Sweden to get to the next phase of something at the time. And Parrott was on fire. I think this was during the UEFA Youth League.
Yeah.
When he was pacing in for Spurs at the time. And I think Parrott put them 3-2 up, and I think Malumbi chucked in a fourth, and this was like a really big upset at the time. And I just remember thinking Malumbi, the way he was playing, the way everything he was contributing was so positive, and he could see that players were like buzzing off him. Whatever about like Troy scoring the goals or whatever, but like, you know, in the engine room, he was there dragging players along with him, which was great to see. I think he would be a very good partner for Josh Cullen when he comes back, but definitely someone that I'd be looking at to replace Cullen in the medium term as well.
Yeah, I think he brings a bit more, to be honest.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And like, I know he was doing a bit of jumping and leaping at the when he blocked out a cross in against Armenia in the home game, and I was disgusted by that. But he was doing it a bit the other night, and it really buzzed us along, I think. Would you have had him taking a penalty?
Well, look, if he didn't put his hand off, we don't know. So,
well, he was taken off.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Jesus, it's been a long week. Look, there's no point in really talking about who would have taken one or what. You know, it's done now, isn't it?
I should look, if we took that approach to everything, lad, we wouldn't have a podcast. Yeah, should I keep this Friday? He's a shit now. Like,
I know you were talking there about whether they practiced them or didn't practice them. I seen friend of the pod Barry Murphy had an interesting tweet up about kind of the. As something that's obviously been well covered by the English media, England since Southgate come in have kind of changed their approach to penalty shootouts. They have like a support player, we'll say, kind of walks out with the lad about to take it and hands him the ball, and there's someone to meet them when they come back, and they've just got these kind of little intricacies going, and their performances and shootouts have obviously improved massively since, whereas I think we've lost something like 4 penalty shootouts in a row now, so we're nearly as bad as the English now. So maybe that is something that needs to be looked at. Me and you usually kind of shit over this kind of modern football, you know, everything has to be so cleverly thought of type stuff, but if the stats back it up, then maybe it is something we could do with looking into.
Yeah, just a quick point on that. Sounds like a complete load of bollocks to me. And I'll make 2 points on that. The first is, these are the best that the country can offer, right? Like, and I'm not saying like, you know, we need like, you know, processes and stuff like that. We need to be on board with, you know, bringing players along and keeping them confident and calm and all this other shit. But like, lads, you're just going to have to go and do it. Like, it's not only like me and you and pricks like us talking on podcasts and talking on every sort of place and all the rest of it. The players have missed out on a World Cup for themselves and their families. That's, you know what I mean? Like, whatever about me and you, like, imagine you, like, how great the rest of your season would feel if you then had to go, shit, I have to go to Mexico now as well. This is unreal. Something that the country hasn't done in 25 years. There's players on that team that weren't born when we were last in the World Cup. Do you know what I'm saying? So like, I don't really give a bollocks about, like, you know, players, he holds the ball in his right hand and another player's lad is to lick his left boot and all this other piss. That's nonsense. The one thing I'd like to be practiced is the technique. The Jamie Vardy. I'm tired talking about this player. You absolutely horse it into the back of the net. If you're not sure about this and you're worried about the keeper, don't worry about the keeper, lad, because you're going to be putting an 80 mile an hour by him. You saw with Troy. He probably, if he didn't hit it as hard as he did, he'd probably give the keeper a great chance of saving it. Do you know what I mean? Like, Brown didn't hit it half hard enough as he needed to. So, like, these are all things that need to be done. And it's not about, like, you know, holding his hand and holding the ball and all this other shit that you're talking about there with Southgate, who actually is a non-entity at the minute because he's not managing anybody, never mind England. So all of that's great. But, like, if you have the technique to drive it into the top corner every single time and you've practiced that for an hour after training in the week before the camp, or the week before the game, then who's talking? Who gives a shit? Like, you know.
Fair enough. You just twigged something in my brain. That the one thing I would have been a bit disappointed with on Thursday was the quality of the set pieces. The first 2 or 3 corners we put in were really good quality, and then we kept going for that overhit to the back post of Collins. Like, you need to mix it up. You can't just keep doing that every single time. The Belgian Pro League game I was commentating on last weekend, Club Brugge, they got a couple of goals off set pieces, and the amount of variety they had was unbelievable. Like, there was cutbacks to the edge of the box, balls to the front post, balls to the back post, old-fashioned driving in on top of the goalkeeper. Like, they really mixed it up every time, and the opposition couldn't deal with it because they didn't know what was coming next. Whereas I felt once the Czechs got a handle on, okay, this is going back post to Collins, we just need to get the first contact on this, we'll be fine after that.
Yeah, I think, and that's obviously the major problem. Now, we did create the chance with Malumbi off the post. I think that was from a corner. But, like, can you imagine, right, we've done that, we've probably over-egged that, the first five corners we had, all to Collins at the back post. Imagine the damage that would have been done to some Czech defender's brain if he was standing in at the front post for the next one.
Then again, I don't watch a whole pile of it these days, but the Premier League, everyone's like, Arsenal only seem to score corners, and from listening to like a few podcasts and that, it does always seem to be that ball to the back post, and whatever they do, teams just can't seem to get a handle on it. So look, I don't know. Look, we could ruminate over it all day, but unfortunately, our next trip is going to be a friendly in Mercy as opposed to Guadalajara or anywhere like that. So,
what did you enjoy the trip?
Had very, very, very tournament vibes about a very Euro 2016 vibes, like the main square there the day of the game, just completely taken over with Irish fans. As you said, it was strange to be at a game where we were in the minority of actually having a ticket.
Yeah.
Like the amount of people we spoke to didn't have a ticket. I was actually chatting to a lad in the airport. He was a Derry City fan, and he was asking, so where'd you watch the game? We were like, well, in the way end. Right, where's you watch? He was like, oh, I was in a pub, but geez, I couldn't stick the heat any longer, so I ended up just going outside and watching it on my phone. Like, people just wanted to be there, which is remarkable. But no, everyone was in good spirits, good behaviour as always. Great spot, Prague. It's a shame because I actually would like to go back there, but I'll never go back now.
I'll probably give it a couple of years, to be honest. One thing that was noticed, and probably pointless even talking about it now, there was bags of people in that away end. I shouldn't have been there to hear that.
Never seen 90% of them in my life before.
Yeah, like what I was thinking about it, like, and I think we said it in the group that, like, I didn't really hear of too many people that I thought should have got a ticket miss out. But, like, there's obviously people with four or five aways that went into a ballot. Like, Shane Coleman at News Talk was in the away end. He probably didn't have enough aways to be allowed into the country of Czechia last week. I have absolutely no idea how he managed to get a ticket. And like I know there was 1,000 people there, and who knows what went on with tickets. But like any relatively hardy chiseler going to away games, you know, to hear that any of them missed out on tickets, and there was plenty of people that missed out on tickets. Oh, my friend had four or five, and I had four or five. He got it in the ballot and I didn't. That type of shit now, you know, really, you know, particularly being there in the away end the other night, really asked some questions about how all of that was done, to be quite honest. But yeah, don't really know what to think of it now, to be quite honest. Just quite down about it. But yeah,
goes on. Does go on. Look, we'll get back to League of Ireland matters, I suppose. As ever, this week's show brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for your sound, lighting, and AV solutions. And our charity bet partners are Bar One Betting. And thanks to Longford Town for again letting us down this week in the charity bet. That's about the 10th time this season that's happened. We'll start with the First Division, Gary, before we look ahead to the Premier Division games this weekend. And as I said earlier, on the Friday night, all the home teams won. And Longford were the only team to let down the sequence on Saturday night. We'll just get Longford out of the way here to continue our misery. Definitely their worst performance of the season in their 1-0 loss to Finn Harps on Saturday.
Yeah, Town were a completely different team than they were against Wexford. I thought Town were full value for the win against Wexford, and I was looking forward to them continuing. That, you know, vein of performance, but I don't really know what came over them. Maybe they took the loss in Prague worse than Finn Harps did. They made Finn Harps look a lot better than they actually are. I thought the passing was all over the place. Everything was going to some lad's knee or thigh. The control of the ball, lots of different, yeah, it was just not there. But and just some of the decision making I thought was quite poor. But in saying that, I thought there was some decent performances. I thought Dean Williams and Dara Murtha linked up not as well as they did last time against Wexford, but I thought they linked up quite well.
They couldn't really find each other, whereas they did against Wexford time after time. They couldn't just seem to get on the same wavelength for whatever reason.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, that was good defending at the same time by
Hearts were fairly well organised, to be fair.
They were.
You weren't maybe overly impressed with them, but I thought they looked a more polished team than Longford on the night. And the one player that made a huge difference was Lemingo, player we haven't seen before. He's signed from French football. I think this is the first time he's played outside of France, and they look to have picked up a real gem there. So I know that's one big positive of us covering the First Division in depth the way we do compared to other podcasts out there that maybe Premier Division listeners and other First Division fans, they get to hear names of players that maybe they're not that aware of, and it's one they can keep an eye out for now going forward. So Lemingo at Hearts, big pacey, powerful, wide player, bag of tricks, could be a player to keep an eye on in the First Division.
And not only that, like, he was very, I think he was confident to try things. You know, there's a couple of back heels and stuff like that he was comfortable in doing. I thought he was quite confident in that space. So a really great player for Finn Harps to have. But yeah, I know I've looked at it in many different ways. I do actually want to point out one player. I thought Kian Moore had a very good game for the town. You might remember that save that Lemingo played in. I can't remember who it was, but it seemed to be creeping by him, and he got his hand back and picked it around the post.
It was McNamee, was it?
Yeah. Which was great.
I'm not sure, is it you or Fitzy that said to me, but the Harps keeper Lorenzo was quite
distribution was quite good. A few that went straight out for a throw in or whatever, but by and large really good. And he slowed the game up very well for Harps. The ref was delighted to let him do it.
Although in saying that, he made an awful meal of a shot from, was it Alex O'Brien towards the end? He kind of fished it back out and Parashiv got the rebound. I think he saved the rebound, or the rebound was blocked, but he definitely did make a bit of a meal of that. So maybe we're overpraising him a little bit. But
I thought he was solid. I was, and there was another one actually in the first half where he, Alex O'Brien had a shot from inside the 6 yard box. It was at a tight angle, and he shoveled it out into the right wrong position. It was just good that a Harps player was right there to kick it out. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, though, the ref did get the two decisions in the game horrendously wrong. The penalty was a foul, but wasn't inside the box. And then Frank Campbell came on for Longford Town, and he was gone by, I can't remember who it was, but he was dragged down.
I think it might have been Conor Torrish, if I'm not wrong. But I didn't really comment on either at the time on commentary because, I always would be sympathetic of the referees that they get one view of it, and we're up in a gantry and we get multiple views of it. And even after looking at replays, I still wasn't sure. So, look, you're the co-com. I let you have your say, and you were obviously adamant Longford should have had a penalty or whatever. I've had the benefit of looking back at it now again, multiple other angles and slowed down and all the rest. And I would agree, it looks like the foul by Erity is outside the box, and it looks like Frank Campbell probably was fouled. So two massive decisions in the game. Against Longford Town. But hang on, the ref's got the two big decisions wrong for me. But again, I would have massive sympathy that he gets one look. You could argue either way. But aside from that, his overall performance in the game, I thought, was very, very, very poor. He had no control of the game. Again, it was an easy game to referee for me. There was no dirty tackles going in. There was no real aggro between players. Whereas we talked about the ref the week before, Arnold Hunter, he stepped in a few times between players when there was a bit of sharpening going on. He just ended it, cut it in the bud there and then. Whereas this ref was letting nothing boil into something. The constant time wasting from Finn Harps. Again, they got themselves in front. They are entitled to manage the clock, but my God, the referee let them manage it as much as he wanted. I thought he had a very, very poor performance, the referee. Daryl Carolyn was the ref.
Yeah, no, he was deplorable.
He was miles off it. Just the game was happening around him. If that makes sense.
Yeah, he like, you know, you often want to say that the ref, you know, if you don't know who the ref is, that means he did a good job. But like, he got involved with stuff that didn't need to be have any panned actor part in it from the ref. And but I know you're just on your point, like the ref gets one decision or one chance to look at something. You know, that's fine for a bloke in the stand. He's on the pitch. He has to make the decision. And if there's two big decisions in a game, you can't get the two of them wrong. Mm.
He didn't get much help from his assistants either, but that's something we've been crying about on this pod for a long time, that assistants, they just take a backwards seat all the time. So, yeah, for the entire team of officials now, I thought it was a very poor night.
Absolutely, yeah. But, like, not to say, I know Harp did create some chances, but it wouldn't have been would it be fair to say that it wouldn't have been the greatest crime if Longford Town got a point out of that?
No, probably not. But at the same time, Longford played so poorly that they can't really have any complaints about coming away without anything. Elsewhere in the division, Cork City, 4-1 winners against Athlone Town. Not really much to talk about there, Gary. Wexford beat Treaty United by 3-2. Bray beat Kerry by 2-1. It's what the big story, really, was UCD giving Cove Ramblers a 4-0 pasting. We raised a few concerns about Cove and their slow start on the pod last week. Well, the alarm bells have to be ringing now down in St. Colman's Park after that.
Yeah, big time. Have you seen the goals?
No, I'm not going to lie, I haven't.
All right. Some of the goals...
this is one of the first times I've been out of bed since Prague.
Okay.
if I could have done the pod in bed, I would.
I found the goals from UCD. Obviously, they got all the goals, but some of the finishing was really well done. There was one where like the ball kind of pops up, and I can't remember who put it in the net, but he kind of chested it down and flicked it over his head or something like that, and then drove it in. But from like 3 yards out, like no one was making any real impact on the game from a Cove defensive point of view. Like if you even look at the first goal, really well taken header, shot or cross comes in from the right, and the UCD man just kind of makes a little run, gets above the only defender trying to attack the ball at all, and nods it into the corner. Really well taken header. Right into the corner. Keeper, unfortunately, had no hope. But you're just like, boys, are you trying to defend at all? Like, it was... I don't... You know, you want players to be, like, putting their bodies on the line or, you know, whatever. But you want players to be impacting the game somewhat. Cove seemed to be absolutely miles away from that. And, yeah, really, really disappointing performance. Did you actually see in the other game, the Wexford game, two penalties saved by either keeper?
Jeez, that must be a first. Excuse me.
Yeah, I think Stato LOI had something up that Jack Brady, he saved a penalty and got an assist, I think, in the game.
No surprises there.
No. Then, yeah, there was a really, I think it was Jake Doyle that was trying to put it over the line, and Jack Brady was like a cat on the line trying to pick it out of the net, and it ended up actually being over the line. And then Treaty went up and got a penalty right from the next play, but they weren't able to convert it. It was stopped by the keeper. So, yeah, good result for Wexford as well.
I think we'll move into the Premier Division, which returns this Friday, and then there's games on the Easter Monday as well, so it's going to be a busy few days ahead, and we've got some right parlours to look forward to as the Premier Division makes its return from the international break. So what we'll do now, we'll go into the Between the Stripes LOI Podcast Predictions League, and we have got plenty of entries again this week. I'm going to pick one at random here, And we are going to bring on this week to play for the listeners. Let's have a quick look here. We'll go with Trevor Mullen. Not sure what club Trevor supports, but he's a League of Ireland fan, and that's all that matters. The first game we're going to look at, Gary, is Shelburne against Dundalk, and Trevor's going for a 2-1 win to the Lilywhites here.
Yeah. Obviously, been relatively impressed with Dundalk this season. Probably a lot higher in the table than we might have thought. They've been able to dig out some results.
I have a feeling that Trevor could be something to send him, Mullen, the Bowes defender, ex Dundalk. Having a look at his Twitter account here, lots of sending Mullen propaganda going on the Twitter account. So that's good to see.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so look, I think I'm going to say a win for Shelburne. It'll be tight. Of course, this is Killers, one of Killers' previous clubs as well. I think Killer was relegated with Shelburne, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
Nice. Always good to remind ourselves of that. I'm going to say 1-0 to Shelburne.
Okay. Dundalk were missing a lot of players before the break. I'd like to think the likes of Danny Mullen, Vinnie Leonard, etc., could be back for this one. I could see them getting something out of this game. I'm going to go 2-2.
Think they're going to get two goals away from home in Talca.
Yeah. Should have easily got two in Daly, man.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
St. Pat's against Sligo Rovers.
I think it's going to be another tough one on the books for Sligo. Hopefully, I think Pats just have enough. Like, are they motoring enough now?
Yeah, break, as we said, break probably came at the wrong time for them, but at home, you'd expect them to have too much here.
True enough. 2-0 to St. Patrick's Athletic.
I'll go 2-1 to Pats. Although I don't know who's going to score for Sligo.
Literally took the words out of my mouth.
Yeah, just to be different though, I'll go 2-1. Yeah, we'll move on to Drogheda against Bowes then, Gary. I might head along to this if I don't go down to Limerick on Friday, but could be a tight contest this one.
Certainly could. Probably one of the harder games maybe of the weekend to decipher. Bowes have been going along great so far this season. Probably
a couple of little stumbles before the international break.
I wouldn't probably look on the Sheld result as much of a stumble.
No.
That might be a bit harsh. But you know, they're and then the Dundalk game, they were just probably poorer than they expected to be. And Dundalk better than they were expected to be. So you're entitled to have one or two off games, or more than one or two, but maybe now and again, entitled to have a couple of bad results. Not that this was a bad result. I thought they were okay, but not as good as they have been earlier on in the season. And, you know, when you come up against a promoted team, you're expected to put them to the side. But Dundalk have been trickier opponents of late since they've got promoted. So decent result, I'd say. This will be a very tough one. Probably a very welcome break for Drogheda.
Yeah.
Would you say?
I would agree, yeah.
Yeah. I don't really think it would have made a blind bit of difference what result there was on Thursday. You know, it would have been the dominant footballing story. So, you know, maybe I was going to say on one hand, if they were, as Ireland were bet, there's nothing else really to talk about football-wise, but I think if Ireland had won, there'd be nothing else to talk about either. So here we are. I think this is going to be a really tight game. I think the break would have done Drogheda the world of good. So I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
You're going to go 1-1. I'm going to go 0-0 in that one. And let's see what Trevor's gone for there. He has gone for a 1-0 win to Bohemians. Waterford against Shamrock Rovers.
I think Waterford would have needed another month apart of a break. Probably gonna. Could this be John Daly's last fist of it? Really? I think there's just
another game Monday, so he might get through the weekend. But surely the clock is ticking.
I think so. I don't think he'd see another bank holiday. Unless he would get 6 points out of these two games, then who knows what'll happen. But I don't see that happening. Who are they playing Monday?
On Monday they are away to Pose. Jesus.
Nicked good. And they're at home though to Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know why you asked that, what makes no difference. Yeah. I think Shamrock Rovers are gonna be comfortable here 2-1.
I'm going to go 2-0, and that's what Trevor's going as well. And that just leaves us with another under-pressure manager then, Tiernan Lynch, taking his Derry team up to Galway on Friday.
Yeah. Is there an opportunity here for Galway?
Definitely.
Everybody knows the attacking opportunity that Dundalk or Derry possess. Michael Duffy is a game changer. But they can be really got at the back. And plus, if they have someone, on top of James McLean, I don't think it'll be, it doesn't take much for James McLean to have a bad performance, it seems, in a Derry jersey this season. So get on top of him.
Another week of training into Franz Perrault as well.
Very good. Good point. Did he score in the cup final?
Think he did. No. It was Douglas James, Taylor Penley, and Andy Quinn.
I don't think Galway will have enough. To win the game, I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, going to follow you there. And Trevor going for a 2-2 draw. So between the three of us, none of us expect Derry to win, which is quite concerning. Right into the First Division then. And there's also games in the First Division on Bank Holiday Monday, including El Clasico down in Athlone between Athlone and Longford. But looking ahead to the Friday night games, we'll start with Wexford against Bray Wanderers.
Bray had a good win against Kerry. I think it was I actually saw this goal go in live. I flicked it on Friday. Last minute strike after Kerry went 1-0 up, I think, after a couple of minutes. Thought Wexford were okay on Friday. I watched most of that game as it happened. Did they create some chances? They weren't. Sorry, go on.
No, sorry, I just had to cough there.
Tough one, though. This is in the Carlisle grounds, is it?
No, it's in Ferry Carrig. I haven't been that impressed with Wexford.
No, I haven't either, but they did. I suppose the Treaty are no great shakes themselves. I'm going to say that Bray are going to come out on top 2-1.
Okay. Our guest here, Trevor, going for a 1-0 win to Bray. I think they probably will shade it. I'm going to go 2-1 to Bray.
Fair enough.
Treaty against Longford Town. This is a big one for both teams. Both teams with just one win this season.
Yeah. I think Longford are the better side, obviously. But also, I think Longford have, they haven't conceded too many goals, which is something that they definitely have improved on compared to last season.
I'd like to think they're a lot better than what they showed the other night.
I think so. And I know I referenced it when we were reviewing the game. It wouldn't have been the greatest crime against football if Longford did sneak an equaliser in that game, which would have put a good face on it because they were shite. I think the Longford have enough here, and one player that I'm delighted to see back, and hope he was back against Cork, but picked up a little niggle in training, and Aaron Doran should be back fit. Came on there the other night, but probably didn't get enough time in the game to make much of an impact. And actually, you may remember one in Longford Town's five in a row last, at the end of last year, Longford won that game 2-1, and Aaron Doran was instrumental in that result, getting a goal as well. I'm going to say 2-1 to Longford Town again.
Okay, I'm going to follow you. And yep. Trevor is going for a 1-1 draw. Harps against Cork City. You see enough from Harps the other night to suggest they could cause any problems for champions elect?
No, nothing. Absolutely nothing. What was your man's name? Lamingo?
Lamingo for Lamingo. Harps. Yeah.
They just need to notify him, really. I didn't see too much excitement from an attacking sense from Finn Harps outside of Lamingo. The left back, you thought he was okay?
Fanley.
Fanley.
Yeah, he was okay.
Yeah. I thought he had a good game. Now, when he went to kick the ball to somebody else, it went badly wrong. But I thought he was okay in defence. So I think if Cork concentrate on their right-hand side from a defensive perspective, they should be fine. I'm going to go for... It won't be easy for them. 2-1 to Cork.
That's what Trevor's gone. I'm going to go 2-0 to Cork there, and I'm going to throw Impongo in for a bonus point as well for Cork City. Athlone against UCD.
Third against fourth. Obviously, Athlone took a right pace in the other night against Cork, and UCD gave out a pace in themselves.
Mm. Which was very encouraging to see from a UCD point of view, because we spoke about them on the pod recently after they played Longford, and we were impressed with their general kind of approach play, but we were worried about their lack of maybe killer instinct in the final third, and they seem to have found that the other night. So
now they were invited to find that the other night.
They were, but I think Athlone will invite them plenty too. So if they're in the same vein of form in front of the goal, I think they'll have more than enough to win this. I see Trevor's gone for a 2-1 win to UCD. I think I'm going to go for even more high score, and I'm going to go 3-1 to UCD.
I'm going to go 3-2 to UCD.
Okay, could be a good one to watch that. And then we've got the Munster derby between Kerry and Cove.
Another Munster derby.
Big game for both managers here.
Yeah, absolutely. Level on points. Interestingly enough, Cove have the worst goals conceded record. Only Treaty and Athlone have conceded. Well, Wexford have actually conceded 12, believe it or not. And I think, just actually looking at now, Cove have the worst record going forward as well. They've only 5 goals scored in 7 games.
Well, you take out Coffey, you take out the lad that went to Kerry, the striker.
Oh, don't.
Kean Murphy.
Yeah.
Take him out. That's over 30 goals straight away.
Problemo. Yeah, fair enough. This game is in Tralee.
Tis
obviously not the worst journey to go from Cork or Cove over to Kerry, but still not ideal. I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to Kerry.
Ooh, okay. I'm going to go 1-1, and Trevor's going for a 2-1 win to Kerry there. So that's this week's predictions league. That brings us to the charity bet, and as I mentioned earlier on, Longford Town again fill the togs and let us both down, so I think we might just keep them out of it this week, but we'll see. I'm on the Bar One site here, thanks to Bar One Betting for sponsoring the charity bet, 18 plus, gambleaware.ie. I'm just having a look here. Pats and Rovers are obviously two bankers. Beyond that, even across the two divisions, it's very, very hard to find too many certainties. Well, we've got Cork City as well, of course, so... I'm just desperate to get something in the kitty. I think I might just go with them three teams, to be honest. It's not going to be much of a return. Just under 30 quid for the tenner, but it'd be better than nothing, wouldn't it?
Better than kicking the bollocks.
Pats Rovers Cork. Anything else I should be thinking of?
Will you do the same and throw in Kerry double chance or something?
Kerry double chance. Okay, let's see what that brings that to then. That'll bring that, we get a little 5% ACA boost, thanks to Bar One, fair play to the boys. That'll get us nearly 50 quid, it's better than nothing, isn't it?
Yep, lock it in.
Lock it in, yeah.
Please do.
Right, so that's what we're going for. I'm going Pats, Rovers and Cork in a treble, and Gary's going for Pats, Rovers, Cork and Kerry double chance. So let's hope we can get something into the kitty after a very lean few weeks. But again, all the markets for this weekend's matches can be found with Bar One Betting. Thanks to them for sponsoring the charity bets on the show. It just leaves us with the hotline, Gary. It's a very small hotline this week because we only put the tweet out earlier on today when we decided we were going to record the pod. But we're coming in for a bit of ribbon here, I see.
Oh, great.
Get points deduction in the predictions league for both of you after singing Killer.
Yeah, well, look, you know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning the night before an away game, biggest away game in years. Not always the right decision is made. So, hands up there.
Yeah. And Jer inquiring about your hat, Gary, that you had on in Prague.
Oh, thank you very much. Who saw that? Oh, we had the picture up.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure he's complimenting it now. He wants to know, was it a challenge set by some of our sponsors or something? There's a good story behind that hat. I'm not sure if you can tell it or not, but...
Obviously, some people that are listening to the pod a number of years, I liked me football trips on the continent. And the very first one was Hanover against Hertha Berlin in September 2017. I was actually the same week. Remember Cologne fans were playing in Arsenal and they wrecked the place?
Oh, kind of, yeah.
Yeah. So it was that week. And I went to Hanover 96 and Hertha. I think Hanover won 2-0. And I got the hat in a little bargain bin when we were getting our scarf before the game. And I was thinking it was a fiver. Brought on a few ways then because as... lads in the group always mentioned it's very easy to find you when you're wearing a bollocks of a hat like that. And then it was lifted in Copenhagen in 2019. So our good friends Ethan and Max managed to find one on some like classifieds website in Germany. And we got a replacement. So it's a very dear hat to me. But I wear it most any cold away, kind of. It's always worn.
Yeah, of course. Our friend Max shooting to viral fame over the last couple of days. So yeah, we'll not say any more about that. safe travels back to Oz, lad. Seagull chat. At least we now have a completely peaceful and uneventful Nations League campaign to look forward to. Yeah, going to be a lot of shite to listen to now between now and September.
Yeah, well, a lot of the moaning people will have something less to moan about now that we're not going to the World Cup. So, you know, they'll be able to put their full weight of moaning into the Israel game. So that'll just be another episode to listen to be quite honest. It's quite far away at this point. Not really concerned about it, but at this particular moment.
Yeah, like I said at the time, if you want to go, go. If you don't want to go, don't go. You know, get on with life. The amount of stuff online about this game tomorrow night in Deviva, like people posting in the chats, it's a disgrace. All the people selling off their tickets and giving tickets away, they should be supporting the boys, and then other people posting in, I wouldn't go down the road to look at this game if it was in my backyard. Like, just shut up. Like, if you want to go, go. If you don't want to go, give your tickets away. Burn your tickets. Sell your tickets. Do whatever you want with your tickets. I don't care. I'll be there. I'll support the lads.
Yeah.
Life goes on. It's depressing enough without looking at all this shite everywhere.
100%.
Yeah, well, look, that was a very uplifting episode. I'm sure you'll all agree. We'll try and put a bit of life into it next week. But it's been tough.
Yeah.
Look, I suppose the positive is there's games Friday, games Monday. There'll be a lot of football to talk about next week.
Of course, there will. People are taking it bad and people are taking it good and all in between. I think the biggest thing for me was how many people were talking about it. Like I say,
yeah.
You know, I think my father watched the whole game on Thursday, and I think the only time he has watched an entire game of football was I'd say the last time we watched a full game of football was when we replayed Galway in the, for the 2001 FAI Cup semi-final. I think it was Galway, wasn't it? That was the last time he brought me to a game. Not even his fatherly love stretched enough to bring me to a football match. He hates the sport. So like even he sat down to watch it, and just for everybody involved, and getting texts and stuff like that, it was lovely to hear and see that people were like, you bollocks. You went to Armenia and all these places, and it would have been great just to get it over the line. But it would have been great for the country.
Yeah.
I think that's what a lot of people probably don't realize, like non-fans.
Yeah.
I had a Garden Work message me. It was like, what's the parrot in your, your work thing, work messenger thing? I was like, that's Troy Parrot. and she was like, oh yeah, sorry, you have your football next week. I was like, no, the country has our football next week. Do you know what I mean? Like, for someone that wouldn't even know that the game is going on, her summer would have been a lot brighter knowing the World Cup was on. So, just sad. But as you said, life goes on, and
Hopefully the league will give us plenty of distractions. Maybe we'll get some good European runs in the summer to look forward to. But it's difficult to get over at the minute. So look, this is where we'll sign off. I do genuinely apologise if this listening to this has made your week even worse. We'll try and get a few coffees or something into us next week and be a bit more upbeat. But as I said, I'm hoping the football give us plenty to distract us with next week, because we've got a lot of games coming up Friday and Monday. So, looking forward to... I'm not sure if I'll get down to Limerick Friday. I'll definitely get down to El Clasico on the Monday, though. So we'll definitely take in plenty of football over the next few days and let the healing process begin, as they say.
100%.
Yeah, that was the latest episode of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Thanks to Quinn AV for being our sponsor again this season, and thanks to our charity bet sponsors, Bar One Bet. And until next week, we'll see you soon.
Don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening. You can also keep up to date with the latest League of Ireland news by following Between the Stripes on X. Until next time, thanks for listening.